Ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome to this week's episode of Unscripted with Simi Williams. Yay! All right, hello guys. Good day. You're welcome to this week's episode of Unscripted Podcast with your one and only Simi Williams. This is where I talk about relationships, mental health, and personal development hacks that you can use to upgrade your level and level up your life. All right, it's a privilege to be here, and I want to say that thank you so much for clicking on this link to spend your data to listen to me talk. I really do appreciate you. I do not take you for granted, and I really thank you for supporting me all this while, sharing my content on your platforms, and also giving feedback that is so valued. I really thank you, and I say namaste. All right, without further ado, let's get into what we're checking out today. Last week I uploaded something on my status, and that was because I saw a channel on YouTube, Trend TV, where it was like a therapy session with couples, two couples, right, who had disagreements and conflicts that they had to resolve. And looking at either of the couple, I saw the way they were trying to resolve issues, and it highlighted a couple of things to me that I've experienced myself personally, and I know that I'm not alone in this. A number of people will experience this also personally, right? And it is the way we show up to conflict resolution. So today I want to talk about how to overcome conflicts in a relationship in a way that fosters intimacy and doesn't leave behind any room whatsoever for resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness. If this is what you'd like to hear, do well to stay tuned, and let's get into it. Let me start off by saying that there isn't a couple in this world that hasn't had some sort of conflict with each other. Conflict itself isn't unhealthy. It's a totally normal and natural part of relationships, right? What we need to be aware of in healthy relationships is, number one, recognizing sources of conflict and resolving the sources, emphasis, constructively. I mean, when I see two couples argue, okay, when I argue in my relationships, I become an entirely different person, because every vitriol in my body, every venom in my soul, every level of causticity comes out at that person, and the person, you know, becomes my enemy at that point in time. I really start to attack the person, hurling words at the person that will hurt them in the worst imaginable way possible, right? Just to make sure that they end up feeling the hurt the same way I feel it. And of course, the person I'm having a conversation with, the person I'm arguing with, is not just gonna sit there and take it. They are also gonna think of ways to bring me down to size. Using their words, of course. It has never been verbal, it has never been physical before. I've never gotten physical anybody before. But when it comes to verbal abuse, no, I don't call people names, right? I don't call people names, but there are ways you can make someone feel terribly bad. That's tautology. There is a way you can make someone feel terrible without necessarily calling them names or hurling insults at them. I am the master of that. And by the time I get agitated, by the time I get like overwhelmed with emotions, my voice goes up several notches. Like, I cannot talk calmly when I'm animated, especially when you are being unnecessarily obtuse and you're not getting my point. I don't know what it does to me. I want to pull out my hair from its roots. I want to punch. I never feel like punching anything, but I feel it's so exasperating. I just want to open the person's head and spill my venom into their brain so that they can get it. But what I've realized is that in that kind of heated conversation, nothing much gets done. Y'all are just going to shout and shout and shout at each other. and y'all are gonna leave that conversation drained, exhausted, and neither of you is gonna feel heard or understood at the end of the day. Now, the conflict will then drive you further apart than bring you together, because it doesn't serve the purpose of leading to more understanding. It just serves to show you how different y'all are from each other. And the more you focus and fixate on your partner's differences, on how you're different, the lesser you'll be willing to commit or invest to that particular relationship. I don't know if you feel me, right? Common sources of, you know, relationship of conflicts are money, right? How to spend money, savings, managing and sharing it, kids, right? If and when to have them, how to raise and discipline them, intimacy, like frequency, extramarital romantic affairs, exes, you know, jealousy and intimidation of past relationships, in-laws, difference of opinions, lifestyle, boundaries, household chores and tasks, sharing responsibilities, caring for the shared home, communication styles, this in particular, which can be misunderstanding from different communication styles, a hurt from harsh communication, and unrealistic expectations also can also be a source of conflict. Like when you have distorted expectations of the other person, right? Now, there are different ways we express our hurt, our feelings when we are angry. Different people express their hurt and frustration in different ways, and the same person can vary their expression based on the person they are in conflict with. And some people respond in a confrontational, even aggressive manner. Others, me, can avoid, deny, suppress, or postpone facing conflict. And even others can become overly accommodating and try to please the person they're in conflict with while ignoring their own interests. Now, what's really important is the ability to recognize your partner's response and understand where it's coming from. That they're upset about a conflict in your relationship does not mean that they're upset at you, or that they hate you, or they are falling out of love with you, or that you are their enemy. Disagreements happen in all relationships, but what matters is how they are dealt with. The way you deal with an issue with your partner can determine if your relationship is healthy or unhealthy. So, here are some tips to keep in mind that will help you handle your next argument in a healthy way. Number one, you want to create a welcoming environment for open communication. Now, at this point, you may be resisting the urge to tell me to shut up, or you just said it yourself. But because the last thing you want to do when you're angry and you have something to say to your partner is to think of how you want to create an environment that is open and welcoming. What you want to do, you want to add it to them straight. You want to hand it over to them. You want to let them know how wrong they are and how right you are. You want to let them know how horribly they've been treating you, and how they need to change and do better, right? You're not thinking of how to light candles and give them oils for massage, right? No. If we can understand and realize that we love this person, we care about this person, and as much as we may love and care about them, they are not us, right? And we are not them. And the way we show up in life are different. It will help us to better empathize with them, even when they hurt us unintentionally. All right? Now, operating from this perspective will help us to be calmer, especially when we need to talk to them, and be more open. Instead of stonewalling, which is bound to happen whenever your defenses are up. Yeah? So, like I said, if you want to have a discussion with your partner, or you guys get into an argument, first of all, de-escalate. When you realize that your voice has reason and that of your partner's has reason, you know that words are about to be said that you're going to regret for the rest of your lives. Because the thing with females, I don't know how it works for males. The thing with females is if you say one word today, 1st of June 2021, 1st of December 2092, they still remember. They still remember how you said it, when you said it, where you said it, what you were wearing when you said it, right? The tone of voice you used, we still remember. Now, that is how God wired us. We have the ability to recollect perfectly how and where you said things. So you're going to be really careful when you talk to us. Which is why it's very, and we are the same person who are so emotional that we don't know how to rein in our emotions for time, that when we say, I hate you now, an hour later, we've gotten over it. We never really hated you. Well, we were emotional at that point. That was why we said we hated you. It's not really how we truly feel. That's what I said. Never take a woman's words literally. If she says leave me, she really wants you to stay, right? So it can be quite complicated, but what can I say? God has that. I mean, that's how we are, yeah? So a lady can come here, can be in a conversation with you and just say, you know what? I don't like anything you do. I don't like anything about you. You never listen to me. You're so stubborn. You're so self-centered. I hate. At that point in time, she's pointing out all the negatives about you. Now, the person in question feels attacked. And when people get attacked, two things are involved. They either do flight or fight. The flight or fight mode becomes activated. Once the person feels attacked, they either fight back or they run away. Now, they may not literally run away. They may run away by withdrawing. They become cold. They become distant. They become aloof. And when you're trying to get someone to fight with you, and the person is not even engaging you in the fight, you become more exasperated and more angry. Now, your voice goes up 3 or 2 more notches. And nothing gets resolved at the end of the day because you're like, you are dismissing my emotions. You are being dismissive right here. You're invalidating my feelings. You don't care about me. You don't. But the guy is just right here looking at you like, do you want to talk to me like a calm person? Or just want to keep yelling? I'm right in front of you. You don't yell at me. Don't yell. Don't yell. Don't yell. There's a lot I'm going to say along these lines because, see, this conflict resolution, if we can master, it's an art. If we all can master it, even when conflicts happen in our relationships, we can find ways around it without trying to score points or trying to win. If either of you wins in a fight, your relationship loses, right? So coming to the table with a mindset that it's two of us against the world, it's two of us against the issue, we really help in how you go about it. So let me go back to point one, create an open and welcoming environment for a relationship. But if you're too tired, if you're too angry, tell your partner that, you know what, can we come back to this later? Like, I need a timeout. At this point in time, going back and forth is really not going to solve anything. I'm not hearing you. You're not hearing me. You are too all up in your feelings. And we need time to like just de-escalate the situation. So let's take a timeout and we'll come back and do this again. So it's better you take time off by yourself to self-soothe. Now, when you go by yourself to self-soothe, the reason you're taking a timeout is so that you can calm down. Is so that you can calm down, let the edge off, watch a movie, go for a walk. It will help put things in perspective and really, really try to ask yourself, like, why am I angry about this? It will help you choose your words carefully when you're trying to articulate your feelings to your partner. But when you're trying to speak at the peak of your anger, you're trying to speak when you're really, really angry, you say the things you don't really mean and your partner will take it the wrong way. And you just keep dragging the matter on and on and on and on and on. And then at the end of the day, you may not ever really resolve the conflict. So it's essential that if you want to talk about how your partner's actions is hurting you, you need to be calm about it. No one, if you yell at anybody, you blinded their ears. Forgive my expression. But they can't hear you. You're yelling. No one wants to be yelled at. If your voice is high, when you're talking with your partner, yeah, you may think, I'm expressing my feelings, he's not hearing me. It cannot hear you. She will not hear because you're yelling. She's not a child. No one wants to be talked at. No one wants to be reprimanded, right? As if you were the boss and she or he or she is the subordinate. So the tone of voice is really essential. If you want your partner to really hear you and really attend to what they are being told, your voice, your tone of voice has to be calm. It has to be. I don't want to know how terribly you're feeling, but it is calm but stern. So they know that, okay, you are assertive and what you're saying is what really matters a lot to you. All right? So if you or your partner can communicate openly about what is bothering you and what is, not going well in your relationship, it will really help you. All right? There's a predilection. We have this predilection to talk about only the problems in a relationship, right? When we come together to find how our relationships can move forward, our brain tends to pick out only the negatives without necessarily focusing on the positives. So even if you want to tell your partner anything, you can lead with the positives thing they do for you, the positives about them. I like the fact that you have me clean up around the house. I like how you lead in this relationship. I like how you take initiative. I like how you da, 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 da. You do this. They're happy. They're feeling good. Like the best, you know, the best partner of the year, you know. And then you follow with, but lately I've been feeling unhappy. I've been feeling unhappy because sometimes when I need help around the house, you really are not there to help me. And when you are absent like that, I feel alone. When you talk like this, you're not being accusatory in your tone. You're not saying, you never help around the house. You're so lazy and inconsiderate. You. When you're pointing fingers at your partner, they become defensive. And what they want to do is hurl your words back into your face. They're never going to listen to you when all you do is say, you. It's much better to say, I feel. Not like I feel you're inconsiderate, but I feel like when I dress up for you and you don't pay attention to me, I feel neglected. I feel abandoned. I feel like I don't really matter to you, and I feel like you don't find me attractive anymore. Now, this is where listening skills come into play, because you can say, I feel, from now till eternity, if your partner has decided to misunderstand you, they will. So it's essential that as much as you're articulating your feelings, your partner also should be able to listen. Listen attentively. Don't listen to what your partner is saying. Look, listen to how your actions is making them feel. That is what you want to get out of this whole situation. It's not that your partner is telling you that I feel like you and I don't have conversations. I feel like we only tiptoe around each other, and I feel like, you know, our conversations are boring and it's not uplifting in any way. And I really want to have more conversation that I can look forward to, a place where I can relax, a place where I can chill and just feel happy. That's what she's saying. But you're hearing, you're boring, you're socially inept, you're no, that's not what she's saying. She's saying that the fact that you guys don't talk or banter is making her feel bored in the relationship, and she's not enjoying what you guys currently have. If y'all can come together to find a course, to reach a compromise, then you can move forward. You see? And, okay, I don't want to muddle this up, but I hope you're following me, right? I don't want to muddle this up. I've mentioned a number of things that I didn't quite highlight. I talked about how you should create an open and, you know, warm environment for open communication. I talked about de-escalating. Take time out to de-escalate. De-escalate the situation. Don't talk when you both are angry. Take time off to self-soothe and then come back to have a conversation. Number three, I talked about listening. Listening to how your actions makes them feel. The natural inclination of a man or a person or a woman is to be defensive. I don't know where we got that from. Probably from our parents or something. I don't know. I think they modeled communication styles to us. Listening is so much more. It's a way of providing someone else the chance to share their thoughts and ideas, to build emotional intimacy, and to show empathy. It isn't simply about giving another person a chance to vocalize what's on their mind, although it is valuable in its own right, but listening it gives us the chance to talk about what has happened to us and how we feel about it. And we also start to realize the best way to change our thoughts and behaviors. So it's essential that if your conversation partner rumbles or their thoughts don't seem to make sense to you, hold your tongue and give them the space they need. You know, try not to get frustrated and extend to others the patience you would like to receive in return. And don't offer advice that unsolicited advice. No one is obliged to follow your recommendations. Put your ego to one side. People get offended when you're there like, I told him to do one or two things. I told her to do this and that. She never listened to me. No one is obliged to listen to you. You are not God. Even God, they don't listen to God. So who are you? You say, you told people to do this and this and that and that. They didn't listen. So, hello? Oh, see, the most disservice that you can do to yourself is to offer unsolicited advice. Question is, who asked you? Who asked you? Even if it's your partner. If you're talking with your partner, if your partner comes to you and says she wants to share this with you, if they don't ask you for advice, don't offer. Walk them through how they're feeling. If your said partner was angry about stuff and is trying to tell you, don't say, I can fix it. Let me fix it. No. When ladies come to share how they feel, they're not asking you to fix it. You don't need someone to listen to them. Walk them through it. Walk them through how they're feeling. Really listen to what they're saying and help them to bring their true emotions to the surface. They will thank you for it later. So, I mean, and to ensure the last but not the least, after listening, last but not the least is clarify. Seek clarity. We may have two ears, but the truth is, someone may be telling you that I don't feel loved, and you are hearing you are the worst husband to ever exist on planet Earth. See, it happens all the time. And then if that's what you heard, instead of clarifying and asking the person like, is this what you said? Because this was what I heard. You will give that your partner the chance to then explain themselves or elaborate further, so you can get what they are saying exactly and you can be on the same page. These things happen all the time, where you are saying one thing, your partner is hearing another, and you're both speaking English. The way we process stuff, the way we process information is different. And we already have like preconceived notions and biases, right? And our worldviews are different. So if whatever anyone is telling you, you are filtering what you're saying through your preconceived biases and whatever. And at the end of the day, if you don't clarify, you will walk away with the wrong knowledge of what this person said. And this person will think that you have heard what they said. So this is how conflict really arises, where you now have misunderstandings. Yes, you people are talking, but you're not hearing each other. So it's essential you clarify. If your partner is trying to pass across a message to you, reiterate what they said so they can correct any wrong notion or whatever wrong information you may have, you know, gotten from what they told you. This will really help in resolving your conflict, right? Never make assumptions. I can't stress this enough. Don't make assumptions. Do not do it. Don't ask first. Ask questions, and please respect each other. If you respect your partner's views and opinions, they will not be talking to you, and you are giving off non-verbal cues like you are not interested in whatever it is they have to tell you. People can read that. People can read body signals. In fact, non-verbal cues makes up 55% of the entire conversational experience. What you don't say matters more than what you actually say with your mouth. So if you're saying you're sorry and you're rolling your eyes, your body is turned away from your partner, you act disinterested, they can see it. And they can sense genuineness and sincerity. People can sense it. If you're not being genuine, if you're not being sincere, people know. So if you're really sorry for your actions, really mean it. And if you still have other things to say, don't keep them away and say, you know what, it doesn't matter, you're going to overlook it. No. If you are having to hide your true feelings because you don't want to offend your partner, or you're trying to preserve your relationship, that is a major red flag. That is a major red flag. Your partner should be your safe haven. They should be the person that you can say anything and everything with without them getting judgmental or cussing you out. If you can be free with your partner and tell them how you truly feel and show up as real as you are, that is a major, major red flag. Now, I don't know. It's a whole lot. I just tried to condense it into this, I think, 20 or 25 minutes podcast. But if we need to proceed, then I'll probably continue next week and see how far we can go with this. Conflict resolution is a skill we need to learn. Listening skills, basically. Listening skills. Like, it's not really all about you. When people are telling you how you've offended them, it's not about how you feel about what they said. It's not how you feel about what they said. No. Let's stop making that mistake. Genuinely acknowledge. Even if you feel your partner is wrong, if your partner is coming to tell you that, babe, I feel so and so, and I feel this way. Even if that is your wrong, even if their perception is wrong, you don't get to tell them that their perception is wrong. That as far as they are concerned, that perception is valid, right? It's valid. Acknowledge it. If you don't acknowledge how your partner is feeling, it means you are dismissing it. And when you dismiss your partner's feelings, you are invalidating their feelings. And you don't get to tell your partner how they should feel. If your partner says they feel angry that you did so and so, you don't have the right to ask them, how dare they? How can you even feel like that? I wonder why people ask that question. How can you even think like that? How can you even feel? You don't get to tell people how to think or how to feel. Don't do that. When you do that, you are downplaying their emotions, you're downplaying their feelings, and you're trying to, you know, cast aspersions on their individuality. No one tells you how to think. Your thoughts are independent. Your feelings are independent. Respect that. Acknowledge it first. They may be wrong, but they have spoken from their standpoint. Speak from your standpoint and say, okay, you know what? I'm sorry, but this was what I thought, and this was why I acted this way. Life should not be hard now, Abby. What do you think? Okay, I'm going to stop here. Until next week, guys. I think I'm going to continue from here, because I believe there's still a lot we need to extrapolate on as far as conflict resolution in relationships is concerned. So please feel free to reach out. My phone number 0706 837 5545, or on Instagram at Simi Williams, on Twitter at Simi_Williams. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great week ahead. My name is Simi Williams, and this is the Unscripted Podcast with Simi Williams. Ciao.